do welcome you to our service tonight. We trust the Lord both us and coming together
in his name under the sound of his precious word. If you're listening in, we welcome you as well, and we trust the Lord will bless us together tonight. And we appreciate just your continuing to comply with the restrictions. You realize that the virus is still out there, and we need to be careful in our entering and exiting and while in the building and with our social distancing and all of these things. And I appreciate you all do these things, and maybe you're tired of me mentioning them again, but we do have to be careful, and we appreciate your compliance with these matters. Baskets at the exits for your offerings. Do remember, please, that as you leave, as the Lord has prospered you. Our Monday is our little sunbeams. The parent and toddlers has resumed from last week. It's 10:30 to 11:30. If you're planning to bring your child or children or grandchildren or children you look after along, please let Louise Foster know, if possible, beforehand. Volunteers to help are greatly appreciated. All health restrictions apply, of course, there as well. Tuesday at 8 p.m. is our missionary prayer meeting, and we have along our brother Robert McConnell, who will be presenting the work that he is engaged in among children, and that will be a presentation, a missionary offering on for his work on Tuesday night. We commend that to you. And then Thursday night is the ordination installation of Mr. Philip Knowles in our London church, 7 p.m. If you can link on to Sermon Audio Facebook, you can join in the service. 7:30 here is our session prayer meeting. You heard about the future this morning from Brother James, and we meet for prayer in relation to the future and the ministry from this pulpit in days ahead. So remember that, please, for a session on Thursday night. Then Friday night is the ordination installation of Mr. Simon Anderson in our Auchnacloy church. That's streamed live again. You can link into this. Remember, your clocks go back 1 hour on Saturday evening. Just keep that in mind for next Lord's Day. And then on Saturday at 10:30 to noon, there's a season of prayer on Zoom for elders and for anyone else who wishes to join in. Of course, it's open to all of our congregation. And there's a link put up on the WhatsApp there if you want to link in at any time during that period. From 10:30 to noon, season of prayer for the moral decline in our land and nation. Do remember that. And then for elders, there's a short presbytery meeting after that on Zoom as well, the usual link for that. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10, family worship 11:30, followed by a communion service. And for those who know and love the Lord, the usual format for communion, we bring our own bread and wine at present, and the little receptacles there. If you haven't got one of these, you can pick them up and get one as you leave tonight or on Tuesday evening. Family and friends night in the evening service. Preacher at both services, Reverend Stephen McCrae from Carrickfergus. Reverend McCrae and his wife will sing in the evening service, bring messages and song. Season of prayer before the evening service. Please remember that as well, from 6:20 to 6:45. And then the after church for youth. We mentioned this last Lord's Day. We're seeking to have an after church for youth, maybe a couple of Sunday nights a month. And we commend that to parents, young people. We looked at all of this and tried to encourage young people to come out on a Sunday night and then to remain for the after church for youth, as I say, a couple of nights a month. Next Lord's Day evening, this will commence. Reverend Stephen McCrae will be the speaker at that as well. And all young people are welcome. Could I mention sicknesses? Treatment ongoing for Mary McFadden. Do remember Mary in your prayers. Remember Irene McBurney, who came through surgery on Friday, and that has gone well, and do pray for her full recovery. Irene Jackson now home from hospital, still in need of our prayers. Also Margaret McCreary still in hospital. Calvin home from hospital and is recovering, but appreciate your continued prayers. Others with illnesses, appointments, consultations, do remember all of these people in your prayers, please. Also, Awana, planning to resume on Monday the 1st of November, if possible, all things being in order. All leaders take note, help is appreciated. That's Monday week at 6:45 to 8 p.m. LTBS calendars are available. There's a list there. If you want to put your name down, if you want one of these calendars for 2022, put your name down in Mervyn Steenson We'll see you with a calendar. They're $3.50 each. Also, LTBS magazines are available at the exits today. You will know that there was a service marking the centenary of Northern Ireland during the week. There's a statement from the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. You may have seen it on our WhatsApp, but I'll read it to you tonight. The Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster records its thanks to Almighty God for his blessing upon Northern Ireland since establishment in 1921. As part of the United Kingdom, all citizens in Northern Ireland have continued to enjoy those civil and religious liberties that have been the mark of British life, freedoms that the citizens of many other nations can but envy. However, as a denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church is grieved that the centenary service that took place in St. Patrick's Church of Ireland Cathedral, Armagh, on Thursday last, the 21st of October 2021, was deliberately planned to promote the unbiblical ethos of religious ecumenism. The event was jointly arranged by the leaders of the four main churches, the Roman Catholic, Episcopal, Presbyterian and Methodist churches. Such ecumenical union does not represent the views of thousands of Ulster Protestants who do not accept the Roman Catholic Church as a Christian church. Our opposition to fellowship with Roman Catholicism is theological. Its dogmas concerning, among other things, the Mass and Mariolatry are unscriptural and therefore heretical. Participation in this ecumenical service by the leaders of Episcopalianism, Presbyterianism and Methodism is a betrayal of the Protestant and Reformed creeds and confessions that these church leaders subscribe and claim to believe. These creeds and confessions we hold dear, for they are the basis of true liberty of conscience and are the foundation of the religious freedom with which Northern Ireland has been blessed over this past century. We would call on members of these churches to repudiate and withstand the efforts of their ecumenical leaders in this continued betrayal of true biblical Protestantism. These ecumenical church leaders state that they saw, I quote, this service that is in Armagh as a moment in a much longer journey towards reconciliation, which will require the prayerful support and engagement of Christians across these islands, unquote. We would remind all those who hear these words or read these lines that true reconciliation among people before Almighty God can be secured only as based upon the finished work of Christ at Calvary. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 to 21, clearly presents the reconciliation with God which sinful man needs is, and I quote from those verses, in Christ be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you didn't get all of that, it's on our WhatsApp and it's also on our Facebook. So you can get that and read it for yourself. And I trust that you'll remember the stand that we seek to continue to take in these days in which we live. We're going to sing the words of the hymn 587. It's on the screen there. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing from the throne of God. 587, keep our seats, and then if you're able, stand please for the prayer.
Jesus for prayer.
To remind you, I'm in Carrickfergus next Sunday, in case you thought I was taking a week off. I'm preaching there while Mr. McRae is here next Lord's Day. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come into thy presence. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for gathering us together tonight. We thank you for the answers to prayer you've given even in past days for families in this church. For Sister Irene, even with this operation. And for others who have been going through treatments and situations of health and still going through some of these folk. We pray that, Lord, thou will give special grace and help even in these times. That thou will draw near to each one, whether it be in hospital or whether they be at home. That thou wouldst give grace and comfort. Remember especially our Sister Mary on Thursday with this scan that she has to undergo. That thou wilt be with her and that thou wilt bless her. And that thou wilt encourage her. And Father, we do pray that thou wouldst remember Raymond in his recovery too. And remember Catherine. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst bless and undertake and give grace there too. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember too. We thank thee for the answers to prayer, O God, for Norman Boyle. And we thank you for the recovery that Norman is making, for answering prayer in his life. We pray that thou wilt continue to bless him and his family at this time and meet their needs. May they know thy gracious presence. We thank thee for Calvin too, getting home from hospital. Continue thy touch upon him and grant that he may know thy restoration. We pray for Eileen as she recovers at home, that she will make a full recovery. Remember Margaret, that soon she'll be home from hospital, and grant that thy healing touch will be upon her. These are faithful folk in our church, always here at the meetings and faithful in their attendance. We pray that thou wilt bless each one, those who cannot gather with us because of present circumstances, that thou wilt meet their needs. Bless us tonight around thy word. Remember Naomi as she sings in a moment, that thou wilt help her. And bless her as she does this service for the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou wilt be glorified tonight. Bless us later on as we handle thy word. We pray that thou wilt fill us with the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt use us for thy glory. And grant that the blessing of God will be upon our church in these times, and even in the future, that thou wilt guide this congregation, that the right man will come to take up the reins and to take up the pulpit and to hold forth the word of life in this place, that this Belfast Road will be the very cradle of revival, and the blessing of God Almighty will be upon this church. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember our other congregation. Think of London this week, with our brother Knowles going in there. We pray for Auchincloy with our brother Simon Anderson. We pray that thou wilt bless these men as they take up the ministry, that thou wilt use them. And Lord, that thou wilt bless the congregation there in London and there in Auchincloy. Remember others of our congregations who are vacant, and we pray that thou wilt fill those pulpits with men of God. Bless our college and all of its work. Remember our land and all of its need. The darkness envelops us. The sin encroaches upon us. But we thank thee where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Work mightily and powerfully in this land, we pray, for thy praise, for thy honor and glory. And throughout the world, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. And Naomi is going to come and minister a piece to us tonight.
My strength.
wife for that ministry and song. I know she's been struggling with a cold earlier in the week, and we appreciate her being here tonight and ministering to us in song from the Lord. It's good to hear young people who are willing to participate and to serve the Lord, and want to encourage them to do that in these days. We're reading together from the Word of God tonight as we find it in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're reading together from this portion of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're reading together from the verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earth, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. Returning to another hymn, there is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign, infinite day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. And again, we keep seated, and then if you're able to stand, we will stand for prayer before we bring the Lord's message. joy to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I draw your attention again this evening to the subject of heaven. And we have been for several weeks considering this subject, especially looking at the last chapters of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapters 21 to 22. First of all, we took you on a grand tour of heaven. And then secondly, we looked at heaven, what a wonderful place of escape. And thirdly, we looked at the glory of heaven. And last week, we came to the preparation for heaven. As we come to this fifth and final message in this series, we want to speak to you tonight in the closing moments of our service on the mysteries of heaven. And no doubt at this moment many questions remain unanswered in our minds about heaven. For example, what will our bodies look like in heaven? Will we know one another in heaven? Will we be able to see what's happening on earth? How old will we be? Will we be married? These questions and many others flood our minds as we think about the eternal home of those who are Christians, those who are truly saved. Obviously, we are riddled with more questions than answers, because so much of heaven, dear friends, remains a mystery. However, there are clear biblical answers for many of these intriguing questions. And so what I want to do in the closing part of our service is to seek God helping me to give biblical answers to some of the most asked questions, or the most frequently asked questions about heaven. And I pray that tonight the Holy Spirit of God will write his word upon our hearts, the mysteries of heaven. First of all, I want to speak to you about the timing. The timing, this has to do with the question, do believers go to heaven immediately after they die? And the answer is absolutely. At the moment of death, the spirit departs from the body, and the believer, the saved person, goes immediately to heaven at that precise moment. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, Paul wrote these words, and he said, "We are confident, I say it willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And that's exactly what happened when Jesus died. At the moment of his death upon the cross, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Luke 23:46. And when he had breathed his last, he released his human spirit into the presence of his Father in heaven. Likewise, that's what happened to the dying thief on the cross. You remember when he said to Jesus in Luke 23 there, 42-43, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And the same will be true for all believers in Christ who die in the Savior. When we die, our bodies will be placed in the grave, and our spirits will go directly to heaven, into God's presence. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no soul sleep. You go directly into the presence of the Lord. In answer to question 37 of the Shorter Catechism, the question is, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? And the answer is given. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory.
The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." And so immediately, whether at death or at the coming again of Christ, the believer will enter in to be with the Lord. Often when a graveside service takes place, it will be said in this way or in a similar way, "As we commit this body to the grave, let us remember that this is really not our brother or our sister lying here. The real person is already in heaven with the Lord. This is just the body. The person has gone on to be with Christ." And so the timing is important. But then I want you to think secondly about the transporting. How will we get to heaven? See how it was with Lazarus in Luke 16:22. "It came to pass that the beggar," that's Lazarus, "died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." That's into the Lord's presence in glory. Certain living saints have been taken up to heaven in dramatic ways. You think of Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. "It came to pass, as they still went on," that's him and Elisha, "and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." So that was a very dramatic way in which he was taken. You think of Enoch. The Bible says in Genesis 5:24, "He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, it's always good to get the explanation of this, because when you compare Scripture with Scripture, you always get the explanation. And you find the explanation in Hebrews 11, verse 5, where it speaks there, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated." And that word "translated" means he was taken up into heaven, "that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him," or God had taken him to heaven. And of course we know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself ascended into heaven in a cloud in Acts 1 verses 9 to 11. Believers will be personally ushered into heaven, as was Lazarus. And so that answers the question in regard to how we're going to be taken there. The Lord will carry us there. He will carry us there. And then I want to come thirdly to the truths about our bodies in heaven. We will have glorified bodies in heaven. In writing to the Corinthians, Paul here in this passage we've read from earlier tonight, 1 Corinthians 15, he provides a more detailed preview of what the heavenly bodies of believers will be like. Specifically in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15, if you look at it, he writes, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Maybe that's your question tonight. In the following verses, verses 38 to 49, the apostle answers this thought-provoking question. First of all, he speaks about individual bodies. You see, we will retain our individual identity. Verse 38, 1 Corinthians 15. "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." You think of a seed that's placed in the ground and it dies. It nevertheless reproduces the same life form from that seed. A barley seed produces barley. A wheat seed produces wheat. So on and so forth. Whatever the seed is, it produces that. In similar fashion, our bodies will have a recognizable continuity from this life to our heavenly life. Like a seed placed in the ground, our earthly bodies will die and change form, but they will still be our individual bodies. And so we will not lose our identity, our individuality. The second thing is, we will have imperishable bodies. Look at verse 42 of the same chapter. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Our present bodies are perishable, subject to deterioration, disease, death, and decay. From the moment we are born, the aging process begins. Now, I know that some people don't like the aging process, and they will try to avoid that, and they will do all sorts of things to try to make themselves still look young. Now, that's an individual thing, and you maybe feel about that. You want to make yourself look young. I heard a story about that on one occasion, that this man, he was really into this, and he wanted to really feel young. And so his wife discovered you could get these tablets. And she said, if you take half a dozen of these tablets every day, you'll really look young. And so he started to take them. And then one day the daughter was looking for him, and she came alongside, and she said, Mommy, where's Daddy? She says, there he is in the pram. There he is in the pram. So he'd really gone back. It's just a joke, friends. Didn't really happen. But people sometimes would like it to go back, but it doesn't. The aging process begins from the day we're born. But one day we will receive an imperishable body, one that is not subject to the downward spiral of decay. Our heavenly bodies will never experience any sickness, decay, or deterioration. Because verse 54 says of the passage, this mortal shall have put on immortality, imperishable bodies. The next thing is glorious bodies. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Now our present bodies are limited in their ability to glorify God, although that is the chief end of man. But yet in our mortal frame we are limited in relation to our attempts to glorify God. But in our new resurrection bodies, we will have unlimited potential to honor God. We will be able to please the Lord in an unprecedented fashion. Glorious bodies. Then powerful bodies. Look at verse 43. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. In these bodies of ours, we're always subject to the loss of energy and physical limitations. And maybe you're a bit like me and you're struggling, and at the end of the Lord's day, I'm struggling, I'm feeling weak, I'm feeling tired. Monday morning is not good because I feel the rigors of this day and all of that. And perhaps in your own situation, you're feeling that your physical limitations. We want to serve God more, but we have to sleep. We want to pray and study our Bibles more, but we grow weary. In heaven, bodies will do whatever we want them to do. We will possess boundless energy with which to serve God. Won't that be wonderful? Unlimited energy in heaven. And then spiritual bodies. Look at verse 44 of the passage. Verse 44, and what it says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. A new body, perfectly adapted to the new heavenly environment, will be given to us. We could, as more, live in heaven with our earthly body than we could live under the ocean. If we're going to live underwater, we'd need a body adapted to that environment. We'd have to have one with gills and scales and a fin. In the same way, if we're going to live in heaven, we need a new body, perfectly suited for our new heavenly surrounding. That's what the Lord says we'll have, spiritual bodies. And then Christ-like bodies. If you look at verses 44 to 49, you'll see that our bodies will be powerfully overhauled into perfect conformity with the risen, glorified body of Christ. Look at what Scripture says there. It says, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. After that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, as is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image. There you have it. The image of the heaven, Christ-like body. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection body. He could walk through walls. He could travel through space. Bible tells us of that in John 20, 19 and Acts 1, 9 to 11. He could mysteriously appear as he did in Luke 24, 31 and suddenly disappear. He was recognized by men. John chapter 20, verse 16. And yet sometimes unrecognized. You remember the two as they walked the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize the Lord, and yet he was walking beside them. Luke 24, 16. He could walk and he could talk and sit and eat and drink. And similarly, we will be clothed with a body just like Christ. Just like his resurrection body. But my friend, there are some other telling points about heaven. Will we know each other in heaven? I know that's a great question. There's a great book on that. I haven't read it recently, by the way, but it's worthy of consideration by J.C. Ryle. If you pick it up, it's a small little booklet, but it's worthy of consideration. I believe we will know one another in heaven. C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher, once remarked, we know one another on earth. Will we be bigger fools in heaven? If we know one another down here, of course we know one another up there. Then shall we know also as now we are known, the Scripture says. Another preacher commented, we don't really know each other until we get to heaven. In heaven we will retain our own personal earthly identity and recognize one another. You remember in Matthew chapter 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are immediately recognized by Peter, James, and John. These men had passed on. Moses and Elijah. Peter, James, and John were on earth, but they recognized them. They recognized them. Obviously, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be there in heaven, maintaining the same identity as we will know them. We will recognize the saints of all ages, including our loved ones. We will have fellowship with Old Testament heroes of the faith, men and women like Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Ruth and Elijah and Esther and David and Isaiah. New Testament believers like Peter and Paul and John, as well as mighty men and women from church history like Calvin and Wesley and Whitfield and Spurgeon. Those that we have known in our churches over the years, men and women of God. We know them. We will know each other in heaven. How old will we be? Oh, that's a great question. Some people are very touchy about age, you know. Some people are very touchy about age. It doesn't worry me. It doesn't worry me in the slightest. You don't want me to know your age. Maybe I already know it and you don't know it. You don't know that I know it. Well, we'll keep you in suspense. Remember, in eternity, there's no time. Consequently, there's no age. So don't worry about it, dear. Your age will not be a problem for you. There's no age in eternity. Age implies aging. And we will never age in heaven. How wonderful that is. You'll not be looking for your birth certificate. Not be anxious about your next door neighbor or somebody else knowing your age. It'll be a wonderful place, heaven. Will we eat and drink in heaven? Yes, we will eat and drink in heaven as Jesus ate and drank in his resurrection body. On one occasion when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, Luke chapter 24, verse 43, he ate a piece of a broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. That's what the Bible says. Now this is Jesus Christ resurrected. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said in Luke 22:18, "For I say unto you, I will not drink, listen, of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." So he promises to eat and to drink with us after his second coming, just as he participated with the disciples in the Lord's Supper when he instituted. At the time of his second coming, saints in heaven will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible tells us that in Revelation 19 and 9. And such a supper clearly implies eating with Christ, who is the bridegroom. Furthermore, in the New Jerusalem, we will eat the fruit and leaves of the tree of life. We've already noted that in previous consideration of Revelation 22 and 2. And in heaven we will gather round the banquet table with the patriarchs. We will eat together. Matthew 8:11. What pleasure. What joy. What delight will be our portion as we sit down to eat and drink in heaven. Will we be married in heaven? Well, the answer is no. No one in heaven will be married. The institution of marriage is a part of this world order, which is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, "The fashion of this world passeth away." During the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were some of the religious leaders who were called Sadducees. They tried to trap Christ with a question about marriage in heaven. You find that in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 28. And the amazing thing about this question is that the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They were simply attempting to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ publicly. But see Jesus' answer to their question, verse 30. In the resurrection, he said, Matthew 22, verse 30. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. In other words, marriage only lasts for this life. We will not be married in heaven. It will be unnecessary. Man doesn't need a helper. Woman doesn't need a protector. So forth. Now, before you get too sad tonight about this, let me tell you that although unmarried, you will be closer in heaven to your spouse than the happiest day of your marriage here upon earth. Your relationship in heaven will be more meaningful, because there will be no misunderstandings, there will be no hurt feelings, there will be no selfishness, there will be no impatience, just perfect love. Won't that be wonderful, ladies? Won't that be wonderful? Your husbands will finally communicate and sympathize with you in heaven. Won't that be wonderful? That's how it will be. Will we grieve for our unsaved loved ones? Some people ask this question. The unsaved loved ones, the friends, will we grieve their loss in heaven? The psalmist writes concerning God's enemies in Psalm 9, verse 6, "O thou enemy, destructions are come to perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, and their memorials is perished with them." In like manner, God will eternally remove the memory of all of his enemies from our minds. All who do not know Christ are ultimately his enemies, and will one day be forgotten even by God's people. Do infants go to heaven? This is a very, very touchy question for many people who have lost infants. I believe infants do go to heaven. And though the Bible does not address the question at great length, the weight of Scripture indicates that infants and young children go to heaven if they pass from the scene of time in infancy. And in years before the years of understanding, before they understand the gospel. David's infant died. And his response when told of the child's death is very, very important. 2 Samuel 12:23. But now he is dead. That is, his son was dead. His infant son. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. This is David speaking. I shall go to him. He shall not return to me. I shall go to him. He shall not return to me. The meaning is they would be reunited in heaven. And Jesus indicates the same in his teaching there in Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. What will we do in heaven? Actually, we will do many of the same things we do here on earth, but we'll just do them perfectly. We will worship him. The Bible tells us in heaven we will have fuller knowledge of God and what he has done for us. Consequently, unending praise will burst forth from our mouths forever. We will worship him. And then we will reign with him. Revelation 22:5, they shall reign forever and more. We will serve Christ in heaven. We will be his servants. Revelation 22:3, his servants shall serve him. We will have fellowship one with the other in heaven. We will travel extensively. Those of you who like to travel, maybe you're curbed at the moment, you cannot travel, or you've been feeling, I can't go there at the moment, it's not wise for me to go there. Well, when we get to heaven, we'll be traveling extensively. We'll be in and out of the New Jerusalem, up and down the New Jerusalem, the streets of gold. We'll experience all the joys that are there. And then we will rest eternally. That's something else. For all the wearisome labors of this life and trials of this world, there'll be no more striving against sin, no more resisting of Satan. We'll have eternal rest. The Bible says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, and they do rest from their labors. But there's a final thing, and I leave it with you tonight, the triumph as we enter into heaven. Despite all of the questions about heaven, some of them perhaps still remaining in your mind tonight unanswered, others that I haven't mentioned, one truth remains sure. Regardless of what mysteries remain, we can be assured that when we enter into God's presence, it will be the happiest day of our lives. What joy will be ours. I never forget seeing the faces of those who departed as they departed. And they departed in Christ. I never forget those faces. The joy. I remember an old year's night many years ago. My brother called me to my home as I lived in at Finicky. He said, you better get to the hospital. And I went to the Ulster Hospital into that ward. And there was my dad lying dead on the bed. A massive coronary. But you know, there was a smile on his face. And that is still etched on my mind. I was thinking about it the other day. About a smile on his face as he passed into the presence of the Lord. He knew the Savior. You know, that's the happiest day for the child of God. What joy will be ours, 10,000 times 10,000. The Bible says in Psalm 16:10, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What a day that will be, friend. We have loved him, but we've never seen him. Separated these many years, we long to see him who died for us. One day, that glorious day, we'll be with him forever in heaven. We'd see his nail-pierced hands stretched out with open arms to receive us. And he will welcome us into glory. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. What a happy day. What about you tonight? Are you going to heaven? What about you tonight in this meeting? Some of you have sat for a long time and you've listened for many years and you're not saved.
What about you tonight? If you put your trust in Christ, if you haven't, I pray you will do so now. Make sure right now you're going to heaven. And its joys will be yours forever. May the Lord bless these thoughts about heaven to our hearts. Speak to those that are not saved tonight. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Returning to the hymn, the sands of time are sinking. We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn. It speaks about the wonder of heaven, the glory of heaven. The dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for. The fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark has been the midnight, but day spring is at hand. Glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. 595. We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn together. Think of the words as we sing.
Yeah.
you're here without the Lord, do speak with us as you leave or wait behind or go outside. Come back in. We'll be around, happy to speak to you. Show you from God's word how you can be saved. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for listening here to Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church tonight. May the Lord bless you.